There was a change in the scripture reading. It is.
Please be seated.
Thank you. Sorry. that's odd. We're in Exodus, and it's page 47 in the Pew Bible. I'll be reading King James. RSV is on the screen. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, and of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied, and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to his wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, Because I drew him out of the water. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How about if we listen to the word? Is that why we gather? We seek to hear, listen, and understand the word and grow in it? Can we honor that by standing, if you are able and capable and comfortable? This is the word from John, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 19b. Jesus said, Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said, A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. On that day you will ask nothing of me. Very truly I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. The word of the Lord.
Well, happy Mother's Day. I have my favorite Mother's Day story. My firstborn, who I will not name aloud, and I don't want her to be aware that I'm talking about her, So we might be able to work it amongst us. If you know that I'm referring to, and she, okay. When she was little, one of the most amazing things was she would never go to bed. You know I'm talking about you, don't you? Yeah, I got it. When you were little, we had to work to get you to go to sleep at night. Somehow that's changed over the years. Now, she went to bed at 5:30 last night. I don't quite understand. Not to say she went to sleep, but she, okay, so. But when she was little, you had to take her back, and everything in the house had to quiet down, and then your mom would take her back and get in the rocking chair, and they would rock and sing, and it slowly would get quieter and more peaceful, and finally it would be quiet, and we'd put the baby to bed. So one night, that's what we did, and everything's going along, and we're all waiting, and we can hear the singing, and the singing gradually faded quieter and quieter and quieter. And then the singing stopped, and it was, we all thought, ah. And down the hall came Melissa. She had put her mother to sleep. She smiled blissfully. It was one of the last times we tried that. It just didn't work so much after that. Mother's Day. One of the Mother's Day scriptures that comes to mind was this one about Solomon. Do you remember there were these two women, and they each were pregnant about the same time they were due, and they each have babies, but one of the babies dies. And the woman is crestfallen, and she's angry, and she's hurt, and she steals the other woman's baby. And so the original mother of the baby that's alive says, no, this is my baby. And they're in conflict, and they're arguing, and it has to be settled. So they come before King Solomon. Wisdom of Solomon, he says, whose baby is this? And they both said, this is my baby. He says, very well. He said, if it's both of yours, we'll cut the baby in half and give you each half of the baby. Well, the mother whose baby it was not said, well, my baby has died, so if this baby dies, maybe that's just. So she agreed. But the mother who was the true mother of the baby said, no, I lied. It's not my baby. Give it to her. She was willing to give up the baby to assure its survival. Solomon knew who the mother was. Solomon was able, out of his wisdom, to understand that and awarded the baby to the correct mother. The wisdom of Solomon. But the description of motherhood and that gift that you would be willing to give everything, including giving up the child for its survival, was an important story, an important lesson. I've been hearing about kids on the border. But let's not go there. Let's talk for a moment about 2 weeks ago. Last week we had Paul Kottke. I don't think he has his doctorate. The Reverend Paul Kottke, our district superintendent, was preached. How did he do? Good. I'll pass that along to him. He was a little worried because he said he went a little long the time that he had done it before. So he was, I don't know how many times you noticed he checked his watch, but he was more careful. When a preacher doesn't get a preach every Sunday, sometimes it all has to come out at once. And so you'd never invite a preacher to speak without being aware, you know. Fair warning. But 2 weeks ago, we were talking about this young man who had been dedicated to the temple. You recall, Hannah could not have children. Her womb was closed, and she prayed to God to open her womb. And she prayed and prayed, and she went to the temple and prayed. She prayed, and she was muttering and praying to God, and Eli, the priest, heard her, and he thought she was drunk because she was muttering. But she was praying to God, God, if you will open my womb and allow me to bear children, I will give you my firstborn to serve you in your temple. And so God answers her prayers, and Samuel is born, and he's dedicated. After he's grown old enough, he's dedicated and lives in the temple with Eli, sleeping in the room with the ark. And he's there, and he hears that voice, Samuel! Samuel! And he doesn't know what it is. And Eli doesn't understand, and it's all confusing until finally they figure it out and get it straightened out, and God calls him Samuel, and he says, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. Remember that 2 weeks ago? What an amazing mother, Hannah, to pray without ceasing until she was blessed with a child, and then to be able to dedicate that child to God. knowing where the blessings come from. I heard someone once talking about, well, I bore that child, and I stopped and thought, I don't know if any one person could have a child. I believe that God has to be involved there, and I believe there's other factors as well. I think that sometimes when we try and say, this is my child, we lose track of it being God's child. But that's another sermon for another time, too. I'm just wandering all over the place, aren't I? I remember another story of a Mother's Day story. This mother was worried about her children because her child was in danger. The government was reckless, awful, dictatorial, and children were being slaughtered, and she was fearful for the life of her baby, and so she and her husband took their child, and they fled the country, the place where their home was, the place where their ancestors were, the place where their grandparents were, and all of their friends, but they fled to save the life of their child. They fled to Egypt and were refugees. Thankfully, the Egyptians welcomed them in and cared for them and offered them hospitality. That big God word, hospitality. And offered hospitality to Joseph and Mary and Jesus, refugees in Egypt. Today, we're talking about another mother. And it's interesting because the Bible text refers to Moses' mother or the daughter of Pharaoh without naming them. And so some ancient traditions have tied things together, and there are other scriptures that pull things together.
Did you just cough?
I was hoping Peggy was coughing in sympathy. She says no. But she can cough and play the organ. Excuse me. This is past the age when Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Joseph went into the land of Egypt, went with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh puts him in charge of the entire nation. And Joseph is well-renowned, and Joseph and Pharaoh have a wonderful relationship. But our text this morning started this. There's a new Pharaoh that did not know Joseph and does not know God. And this Pharaoh is over a land, and people are becoming unsettled. People are coming into the land. The Hebrews are growing in number, and people are getting a little worried about them. And they begin to be fearful because they're not the same culture exactly. And so there's fear and there's anxiety, and they're worried that they're becoming too numerous. We might be overrun. Some of our place might be taken. They might supplant us in some ways. And so he orders the midwives, when there's a Hebrew born, if it's a boy, do not allow it to live. It's an intriguing passage, and one of the scholarly remarks that startled me was, it's not clear if these are Hebrew midwives or Egyptian midwives or both or neither. But they disobey the Pharaoh. This is civil disobedience. They say, oh, the Hebrew women, they're so healthy that they have the baby before we can ever get there. There's nothing we can do, boss. But that's not true. They are refusing to obey an edict of infanticide, killing the infants, massacre of the innocents. They refuse to be a part of what's wrong there. They are doing the right thing, and they're risking their lives. Think about that. If the Pharaoh found that out, you know what he would do? There was no question. It was not a good thing. God has given specific directives. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. He's talking about Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. That's out of Leviticus 19. This is what God is instructing. This is the direction. And they must have known that and had some sense of that. And they refused to obey Pharaoh. So along comes Moses' mother. We know from other sources her name is Jochebed. And she has a baby boy and she saw that he was good. Isn't that fun language? You remember that language? God created the heaven and the earth. He created the days, and he saw that they were good. It's the same phrase, exactly. Here is the creation of this wondrous human being, Moses. He saw that he was good, and she refuses to obey Pharaoh. She refuses to allow the death of her son. Civil disobedience again. Man, it must take a lot of faith to do that. To stand up and do what's right when all around you everything else is going the other direction. When popular opinion might even be going the opposite direction. But no greater love has one that they might give their life for another. Let's move forward. She makes a tabor. Sue even put it in the scripture. Did you see that when we were reading along? She makes a basket. That's what it says in the New Revised Standard Version. Renee read it differently. She was reading from the King James, and you called it an ark. Tabor. Say that with me. Tabor. That's the same word that God said to Noah. Make a tabor. An ark. Isn't that amazing? See, Noah's was a little bit bigger, I'm guessing, you know. All of the animals of creation, two by two. Here is a little tabor. Taborite. A baby ark. And places Noah in the ark. She has a plan, you see, and she's a loving mother. And I always envisioned this story that she waded upstream and floated him down so that Pharaoh's daughter would see him and find him there. But there's risk there. What if he floated by? So that's not what she does at all. She sneaks down and places him in the rushes right where she knows Pharaoh's daughter will walk. And not only that, she absents herself, but she has Moses' sister Miriam keeping watch nearby. Motherhood, care of another, it is deep, it's important, and it's as all complete as we can be. Pharaoh's daughter, let's talk about her for a minute. I don't know all the rules for how Egyptian things work, but I would bet you money that if Pharaoh found out that his daughter had taken a Hebrew boy and raised him, it would not go well with her. It could have meant death. It could have meant her being killed for disobeying his law. It was civil disobedience as well. Ancient sources contend her name is Bithya. She's an amazing mom. A mother that isn't a mother but is a mother. Raises Moses in the family. Raises him to become the prince of Egypt. Raises him to become the leaders of those people. And recognizes him as a precious gift of God. She finds him in the tabor, the baby ark. And she disobeys out of civil disobedience to do what's right, not what's legal. God can make amazing things happen. Have you ever noticed that? It's just an astonishing sort of thing. Egypt was such an amazing culture. They were so advanced. They were so... Look at what they accomplished. The pyramids alone. I mean, this, it's just a tremendous thing. But that civilization died. And I think about that sometimes and I think, if you're not going to put God first, your civilization will probably not survive. Is that what happened? God can make amazing things happen. I like John's scripture today. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when the child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. Now, I have to confess to you, I have never experienced childbirth. Any of you men, anybody? Any of you men been in the middle of that? I have heard that it's not so much fun. And I have been at present at the birth of both of my daughters. And I can attest to you, there was a lot of noise being made there. In point of fact, Melissa's oldest stepsister was a teenager, and her 12, 14-year-old, when Melissa was born. And as the birth was occurring, I looked over, and her name is Corinne, a wonderful little young woman. And I looked at her and she was totally white, and I grabbed her and sat her down because she was just about to pass out. She said, "I am never having a baby." And she meant that she got married and had a son. And it was so wonderful she had a second son. You forget about the pain when you see what an awesome blessing, what the results can be. Men, we don't know what that feels like, but we've experienced and seen it, been present to that, and understand that. But it can be difficult sometimes to reach that birth. Over at Jefferson Avenue, we had our first visit for baby Braden. You prayed about Braden. He was born prematurely. His mama, Jessica, was hoping everything was going well, and all of a sudden there was something about, you know, the doctors are listening, looking, and all of a sudden they said, nope, we're taking the baby right now, and did a cesarean. So baby Braden was in worship with us this morning. About that long. Not much to look at yet. I don't think he can play chess or nothing. What pride. What an awesome thing. Birth and life. And God in the midst of all of that. And Jessica beaming, glowing with pride. Did you see on the news this week a mother sent her two sons to CSU for a tour of the campus. And they got there a little late, and they're Native American boys, so they were wearing shirts with something in Native American on. It's like when the Tongans come in here and they're wearing something that's in Tongan. I think, I can't read very well, and then I realize it's in Tongan. I don't read Tongan. But here were these boys, and they're Native Americans. Have you ever known Native Americans that are very, very traditional? The way they honor you is by keeping silent. The more they honor you, the quieter they will be. And so they join this tour in progress, and they're trying to interact with these boys, and the boys are being very, very quiet. And there was another woman in the tour, and she got unsettled by it all. And I want to make sure we don't vilify her, because she has been in the midst of what's happening in our world with the tragedies in our schools and with terrorists and with all of those things happening, and she reacted out of that fear. She called the police. Well, the police came, and they figured it all out, and everything was straightened right out. And I had to think about that. Her name is Lorraine Gray. I want to name her Lorraine Gray. And if I had been the parent and that had happened to my kiddos, I think I would shake the dust off of my sandals as I departed from that school and go somewhere far away. But Lorraine Gray said no. She said, we need to have a dialogue here. There's something amiss here, and she's right. Here it was, they were different. These boys were different. And it unsettled everyone. And we've been culturally now and politically been pushed harder and harder to say, if they're different, we should fear them. And that's wrong. And that has to be something we think about and change. We have to be in the middle of that. And so she said we should use this as an opportunity for some dialogue about diversity. Amen. She's preaching to me. And she should be preaching to the world. She is mothering her children. Maybe she's mothering us as well. Yeah, let's all cough for a second. Doggone trees. So this is that dialogue. Here it is, Mother's Day. This is a day to talk about mothering and nurturing, and we just determined in the children's month. Stephanie helped me just flesh it all out. I should have just turned the whole children's sermon over to her, because mothering is those people that help nurture and grow and love and accept and learn about each other. That's that mothering piece that's so important. Would we have the courage of Jochebed, Moses' mother? She risked her life for Moses. And I love that backside of the story. After she gives her child up, Miriam, the sister, says, oh, I know a wet nurse. So Moses' mom gets to help raise Moses and be a part of his life. God does miraculous things. Isn't that wonderful? And Bithia, Pharaoh's daughter, she had a lot to lose. How would you like to be in a dictatorship? That's what Pharaoh was. All powerful, everything. And you're a part of that privilege. and risk that? Perhaps the most poignant example is the one Jesus gave of the Good Samaritan. Doing the right thing for the right thing, regardless of who you are and who they are. Happy Mother's Day. May God bless men and women and teachers and coaches and friends and acquaintances that teach God's love of the world. We're in the middle of a painful time in our country, in our society, and in all that's going on. And that pain is real, and we want to acknowledge that, but we need to remember that after the pain of childbirth, the result will be joy. If we are with God, may that be so. Amen.